the 260 Dugout Podcast. Welcome to your destination for all things baseball in the Summit City. The 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Fort Baseball Company. From Little League to Major League Baseball, it's time to go inside the dugout. Here's your host, D.C. Hendricks.
D.C. Hendricks here broadcasting live from Carrington Field. Feels good to get back in the dugout here on the 260 Dugout Podcast. Of course, shout out to our sponsor, the Old Fort Baseball Company, for making this podcast possible. And of course, to you, the listener, subscribe, rate, and review Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are available. Make us one of your favorites by subscribing to keep up to date. And of course, if you're on Apple, scroll on down, click write a review, and let us know what you are thinking. It's fall time, at least it feels like fall, it looks like fall, but fall baseball still rolling, so we're still talking baseball here. Very excited to talk about the Fort Wayne Jackers today, as a player that used to play for the Fort Wayne Jackers is now an MLB All-Star. Became an MLB All-Star for the first time this year from the 260 area, went to Central Michigan, and of course he went to Northside High School. Yes, I'm talking about the one and only Zach McKinstry, was at one point a Fort Wayne Jacker long before he became the MLB All-Star for the Detroit Tigers that we know of today. So I'm here today to learn a little bit more about the Jackers, the league they play in, and the gentleman that I'm talking to today, Tom Davidson. Tom, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem, DC. We were just chatting that we have some mutual friends, so a big fan of what you're doing, and anytime we can grow baseball around the city is always a plus.
Yeah, and of course, you know, when you get me talking baseball, I think our conversation before the podcast was already a 20-minute conversation before we even got started, which I'm sure we could go even longer when we talk baseball. It's just one of those topics where if you love it, you know, you're passionate about it, you can go on for days, which, of course, I know how passionate you are. I've heard a lot about you. A good buddy of mine, Jim Shevlin, told me, hey, I've been enjoying your podcast, but I got someone that I think you really should talk to. And he mentioned you. And I was like, yeah, he told me a little bit about you. So I'm excited to learn a little bit more about you in addition to what he's told me and introduce you to the listeners. I know you have a wide variety in history of the game of baseball. So let's go ahead and get started. How you came up as a baseball player. When did you start? What leagues did you play in? Any little leagues and things like that? What high school did you play in? Catch us up on Tom Davidson as a youngster playing ball.
Yeah, so I came to Garrett, Indiana when I was like six, played in their little league system. We really didn't have a travel league like they do now. So you play, you know, your 14, 16 game season, and then if you're fortunate enough to play in an all-star team, travel around, maybe play two or three tournaments. Then went to Garrett High School. From there, started to grow a little bit. Always kind of loved pitching, never really threw that hard. Really wasn't that athletic. Kind of hit a growth spurt. Not heavily recruited out of high school at all. Was introduced to Coach Rick Esposito at Manchester, and he said, yeah, you know, come out for a visit. So liked it there. End up going and having some success, you know, some ups and downs. We had some really good teams, first and foremost, beyond my success. And then afterwards, was fortunate enough to get to play professional baseball for 4 years. We were just chatting about, I played for the Gary Railcats, the Florence Yalls, used to be the Florence Freedom, and a team called the Windy City Thunderbolts, and a couple other stops in the independent circuit. Got back, and I've been coaching in this, we were just chatting with the Fort Wayne Baseball Federation, the Fort Wayne Jackers. Did that for a while, and then I was lucky enough to have Coach McWilliams over at Indiana Tech reach out to me, and I just helped him out where needed over the past few years, leading me to Manchester, my alma mater, with Coach Esposito, and this will be my second year there hanging out with the pitchers and helping the staff out.
Were you recruited to Manchester to be a pitcher only, and what were some of your strengths as a pitcher?
I went to Manchester hoping to pitch and hit, and then got there real quick and realized that I couldn't hit, I mean, at any level. Like, as soon as somebody threw me a curveball, that was the end of that. But pitching-wise, I was probably a guy, the velocities have changed so much nowadays, but in high school, I was probably 82, 83, threw a lot of strikes, didn't walk many guys, and developed a split-finger fastball, which is pretty much what gave me my success. Like I said, I didn't really throw hard on anybody else. I threw strikes, and I was able to throw a splitter that I could throw for a strike and I could bounce, and that kind of profiled. And then once I got into Manchester, you know, we were just talking about your son and his size. Like, I went from like a 6'2" freshman to like a 6'7" senior. And that's when the velocity got up to around the 90 mile an hour point, with the splitter, got attention. That's what ultimately let me play at the next level.
Yeah, speaking of the next level, you went, as you mentioned, you went beyond Manchester and even got the, I think you said, you mentioned earlier, you got to try out for, I think we were talking about the San Diego Padres, and somebody familiar that a lot of people from Fort Wayne area know was a part of that as well.
Yeah, it was a funny story. So my mom, like, my senior year went well, and we were hoping something would happen with the draft. It didn't. So my mom, I had some letters out. My mom kind of cold called the Fort Wayne Wizards at the time, and she was complaining that something was wrong with the seating. I don't know really what she did with her cold call skills, but somehow got Mike Nutter on the phone, who probably was, this was 22 years ago, so a young GM, and he was nice enough to say, yeah, come on out. And I threw to seven or eight of the Wizards hitters before their game that night. Went home the next day, got a call from one of the Padres scouts that sent me to Chicago to play for the team. It was the Cook County Cheetahs, now it's the Windy City Thunderbolts in the Frontier League. Got started that way.
Exiting the player stage and going into more of a coaching role, talk about how that transition was for you going from a player to a coach.
Yeah, I think for me, I was unique in the fact that I finished playing and there was a long gap kind of before I got into coaching, and I had to realize real quick that I had to evolve. You know, I think in 2002, and you'd have to fact check this, but the average major league fastball was like 88.6, and I was like 88 to 92 when I finished. Well, you know, later you're watching the TV and you're like, okay, now how is it everybody's throwing 100? And it seems like that, but the average fastball right now, you'd have to look it up, is around 94, upper 94 to 95. So that's all changed for a reason. So going in with an open mind to be like, okay, I can't sit here and think these kids are doing everything wrong, because it's not the way I was taught, because the way I was taught made everybody throw 86 to 88. Now everybody throws, whether, you know, you can say it's bad for kids, good for kids. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is everybody throws now from that 86 to 88, you're looking at 96 to 98. So there's got to be something to that. So it's kind of just evolving, learning, just staying honestly in touch with YouTube, you know, figuring out what kids are doing nowadays and trying to adapt that and bring it to the game, as opposed to having the attitude of like, no, that's wrong because that's not the way I was taught.
Yeah, great advice there. And that's something I tell, because I coach a little bit too and help out. And I tell the kids all the time, one of your greatest tools is going to be YouTube. If you want to improve your game, there's all kind of videos on there. Anybody that needs hitting, I always tell people that when they say they need some help with hitting, I say, go to YouTube, search up Tony Gwynn hitting. That's simple. That's who helped me coming up as a high schooler. And who else is better to learn from than Tony Gwynn, who I would argue the greatest hitter of all time. So like, and he has several videos on YouTube showing people, you know, breaking down all the rules of hitting. And I know you are very, you know, essential to the pitching, you know, pitching aspect of it. And I know you do a lot of that. So what is some of your advice? You know, you talk about, you know, how kids today are throwing a lot harder. And even like, you know, I think around like 14, 15 is when, for most kids anyway, that's when it really starts to pick up in terms of velocity. You're getting older, you're kind of hitting the puberty stages. What's your advice for kids, you know, around that age, and even for their parents and coaches even, to teach those kids, how do they control, you know, gain a little bit more control of throwing that faster fastball?
Yeah, so I think it's interesting, because if you talk about velocity, a lot of coaches, they hate hearing about it. And I understand, because you think, okay, I'm going to throw this ball 94 and you're going to go out there and throw ball 4, ball 8, ball, nobody cares, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, with that uptick in velocity, well, first I was going to say, that's not going to change. Unless professional baseball tells kids, hey, you can sign a contract throwing 83 mile an hour. It's not going to change. Kids, that's their dream, and you can't fault them for that. But what I will say is, with the uptick in velocity, when I was in college, throwing 88 to 90 was hard. That's going to be a noticeable difference in everybody else. Well, now everybody throws that hard. So you might have 10 kids at an NAIA program that throw 88 mile an hour. The bottom line is, if you can't throw a strike, you're not going to pitch. I've seen last year with the Manchester team I was with, and then I've seen, you know, at the NAIA level when I was at Indiana Tech, we'd have kids throwing in the low 90s that would struggle to get innings because the coach there, Coach McWilliams, he doesn't care. Like, he wants, who's going to get people out, right?
Yeah.
So my advice would be, yeah, sure, the velocity is important. Let's throw as hard as we can. Let's get as much as we can out of your delivery. But as soon as you start being 1-0, 2-0 in hitters, then we got to dial something back. So it's trying to throw as hard as you can under control and what your body allows. You know, some guys, you can crow hop and throw it as hard as you can from center field with horrible mechanics and maybe get something on it. But the bottom line is you got to throw a strike first, if that makes sense.
You coach at Manchester these days, and you also, so I brought you on to talk about the Fort Wayne Jackers. Tell us about the league that you play in and tell us about how the Fort Wayne Jackers fit in that league.
Yeah, so this is, we are in the Carrington League, Red Carrington League, part of the Fort Wayne Baseball Federation. And as a whole, the NABF, National Amateur Baseball Federation. And this league has came, back when I was in college, I mean, I don't know, Rich Brown and Brett Windmiller, guys that help run the league, they were a part of it when there might have been 12, 16 teams even. But now there's more college leagues. So it's not, it used to be if you played within a 90-mile radius of Fort Wayne, you played in this league. Now there's several different college leagues. So we went through a little dip, a little lack of players, and now we're to the point now where there's, you know, I think six teams in the league, and you're looking around, you're seeing college kids at every position. So it became a place where kids that don't want to travel, because most of the college leagues, you're going to travel, you're going to live with the host family, and you're going to get to the park around 2:30 or 3 like you would in pro ball, and then you're going to be there for the 7:30 game and then go home. Well, here's an opportunity where you can work, you know, if you want to get a summer job and you want to still play baseball, you can come here and do that. I think the Jackers competed in the NABF World Series, not this past year, but the year before. And since 2013, they've had a long run of competing in it. And the league as a whole has gotten a lot better, which is nice to see. There was a time where we were rattling off, you know, every year winning the league, you know, going to a World Series. But now the parity is much better. We like to see that, you know, because the last thing you want to do is have teams come in here. They get beat all the time, and just it's tough to get guys to keep coming out when they don't have a chance. Say they're playing against college athletes, and you got a bunch of guys just looking to have fun. Well, now it's to the point where there's parity. Anybody can beat anybody at a given time. And it's just been fun for me because I hadn't even thought about coaching. And then Rich Brown asked me, he's like, would you do it? I'm like, you know, let me think about it. Got into it, really enjoyed it, and it's opened up doors for me to get back into the college game.
Yeah, and getting to know you and talking a little bit about the team in this league, you mentioned to me that the Fort Wayne Jackers are a little bit more unique than some of the other teams where you have, you know, you may have someone that's maybe a couple years or a few years older than some of the other college guys. Talk a little bit about that and some of the guys that you were telling me about earlier that kind of make the Fort Wayne Jackers unique.
Yeah, so I was saying, if you looked around, I mean, all the rosters are going to have some older guys, but over the years, you'd look around and you'd see, you know, the kids 18 to 22. And this year, I will say, we did get a lot younger. With the last couple of years, I would say we've lost more than usual, but at the same time, that's what happens when you have turnover. And to me, it's just been fun. Wins, losses are great. I mean, wins are great. We don't like the losses, obviously. But at the same time, I've looked at it the last couple of years like, all right, we're giving kids an opportunity to get better here. I was talking to you about area players, and I know you mentioned Will maybe jumping on the podcast, but you got a Will Corson Carr from Southside, Evan Van Suren from Southside, Glenn McClain, standout from Indiana Tech, then a handful of pitchers. You got Connor McLaughlin, a Jared Harvey, guys that threw a lot of significant innings in Indiana Tech that come here. And for a while, we had an edge up on the competition because we'd have four or five players in their athletic prime that just left a high-level program like Indiana Tech and would come here and pitch to kids that are just going to college. So it would struggle a little bit. But now we're getting to the point where those guys are getting a little bit older and we're ushering in some new guys. So we are getting a little younger, but yeah, a little unique in the fact that you might come out here and see a guy 27 to 30 playing that might weigh a little bit more than the 18-year-old kids. Might be harder to bun over or steal, but at the same time, what they lack maybe athletically, and for those of you listening, I'm not saying that they're all fat and not athletic, but what they lack athletically, they can make up for with experience, and it's good for the younger kids to see how they go about their business.
Yeah, so I got to say, I got to be a homer for a second. So you mentioned a couple of guys that I played high school ball with, and I know I will be talking to Will, but Evan Van Sumeren, another guy I got to play with and grew up with Evan, actually. Our dads know each other. So two guys that I'm very familiar of. I got to know how they played this season.
So Will, I mean, Will had, he's off and on pitching with arm issues. But when he threw strikes, he can tell you this, was electric, right? And he's always a guy that could show up and you never know when he's going to hit one on Coliseum. And this year, I did see Evan reach the road. And wow, every year he comes out, and I'm like, all right, there's got to be a little fall off there. But he just takes such good care of himself, and he's so disciplined at the plate. He doesn't swing at balls out of the zone. And that's half of it. He just gets in good hitters' counts, right? When we look around, kind of why we've been successful is we talked about experience. A lot of those guys, it's not because we're like they're elite hitters, but they can work counts, they can take walks, and Evan seems to always, he hits leadoff for us, and he seems to always be up 2-0, and then when he does, he doesn't miss that 2-0 pitch, as opposed to chasing a pitch early. Now it's 1-1, you know, now you're forced to get outside of your comfort zone a little bit. But yeah, two guys that just been, Evan's been locked down. He played left this year, but he had been in center. Two guys that were on the first Jackers team that I coached, so I just appreciate them. You know, they can't make it all the time. That's what comes with it when you have older guys. They have families, and they can't commit to every weekday game and weekend game. But when they do come out, it's sure a huge help, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I had to ask and get the update on two guys that I grew up with. So trying to learn a little bit more about the league and you guys. So, like, you know, obviously you guys play here at the home field, at Carrington Field. But who are some teams, you know, for people to come out, who are some teams that you guys play? Because if I remember correctly, I think there's a team from Portland.
Yes.
So tell me a little about some of the teams you guys play.
Yeah, so the teams here, and I don't want to miss anybody, we have the Renegades from Fort Wayne. We have the Fort Wayne Blues from Fort Wayne, and then you mentioned the Portland Rockets. They're coached by a guy named Randy Miller, who's been a staple just in youth baseball, NABF baseball, for a long time. Their program, I mean, from 2020 when I first started coaching to now, has grown exponentially. They won the league this past year. They won their regional, went down. We went to the World Series this past year. Portland went out of their bracket, but it's a really unique place if you've never been to Portland. You know, most of our games are here, but to your point, we'll travel to Portland twice, and it's kind of a city where they almost treat it like a minor league feel. Like, you get out there and it's nothing for them to have 400 or 500 people at a game, and they'll have people in the bleachers doing cheers, stuff that you just typically wouldn't see like a city park game. They do raffles, they do drawings, so that's really cool. We'll pick up games in Battle Creek. Battle Creek has a couple teams, so we've in the past drove up there and played. The World Series used to be held in Battle Creek, now it's in Illinois. Outside of that, we try to pick up some games. There are a couple college leagues. There's a team called the Grand Lake Mariners, which they're in a college league. I think it's called the Northern League, where they take it, like I said, they get there at 2 or 3 and play, you know, all throughout the night. We'll pick up games with them when we can, and it's good for our guys to go, you know, kind of brings up the competitive juices for some of our guys that played at a high level to go out there and face somebody that's throwing in the low 90s, you know, try to make them feel a little younger than they actually are, but it's good for them to see that competition. Probably around 30 games a year, maybe a little less, but each year the schedule varies a little bit.
Yeah, and with you mentioning that this is generally more of a college league, so I would assume that the league starts in the summertime. So when exactly does the league start, and when does it end about, so people can come check you guys out?
Yeah, we'll start around Memorial Day weekend, and we'll go, I believe the World Series this year was last week in July, first week of August. We typically play a game, a 9-inning game during the week, and then we'll play usually a doubleheader either on Saturday or Sunday. And again, we're the Fort Wayne Jackers. We have a Facebook page that you can search. And I think all the teams, I know the Blues do, I know the Rockets do, also have Facebook pages that have been maintained pretty well. So if you wanted to find information on where teams are playing, rosters, and things like that, you can hop on and just search one of those teams.
Super awesome. Love supporting the Fort Wayne Jackers. And so how does your schedule work throughout the year? I mean, you're assistant at Manchester during the spring. You got that in the summer. How's fall? And how does your schedule? You seem like a busy guy. When do you take a break?
Yeah, so I was mentioning I'd been at Ash Brokerage and kind of doing a day job, right, while I was coaching the Fort Wayne Jackers in the summer. Mm. Well, COVID happened, and everybody started to work from home. Without COVID happening, I probably wouldn't be coaching college, but I had the opportunity. I'm like, well, I'm working from home. I can slide over to practice. You know, I don't have to leave work at 5, drive home. You know, I can actually make it happen. Then the summers is easy because we play 7 o'clock at night in the weekend, so that's never been an issue. But with college baseball, I've gotten a little bit more active. Used to be like at Indiana Tech. I was there as much as I can, but if they had stuff during the day, traveling during the week, I'd have to go to work. But as I was telling you before we started our conversation, I'm just now getting to the point where I'm starting to put out resumes to get into coaching more full-time. You know, might mean moving outside of the city, what have you. But yeah, it is to the point where you can't really do both. You know, if I want to be all in with baseball, it's kind of hard to have that day job, you know, sort of aspect to it as well.
Yeah, so we'll let this be that additional resume for you. Anybody listening that needs some help coaching, you're looking to add some coaches, Tom Davidson could be your guy. Does a lot, has done a lot for the, you know, for teams and players in the surrounding areas. And I've heard some great things, you know, about him and the Jackers program. And Manchester, obviously, a great program as well for kids wanting to look at any colleges. Definitely enjoyed everything that we talked about today. I feel like we could talk forever about Fort Wayne baseball, about you, and just baseball in general. I really appreciate it. I know for sure this is not going to be my last time at this field. I'm definitely going to be coming to the games next year because I want to check them out. I know Will won't be here. That's a spoiler alert for anybody listening.
He might come back.
knowing him, you never know. But yeah, very excited for everything that you got going. I definitely hope that something else comes along the way because you're doing some great stuff for baseball here in the community. Kids that need, want to play ball, and you give them the opportunity and do a great job. So we appreciate you for that.
Yeah, no problem, DC. I appreciate you reaching out. And yeah, just if you're listening and you're interested in playing, you know, summer baseball, and you really don't want to make that jump to go live with the host family, need to stay here and work, just give it an opportunity to come out here and play, because it kind of goes beyond me. I've been a part of this league since like the year 2000, and we want to keep it going. We'd like this league to be something that grows back to that 8 to 12 team type scenario. So if you're out there and you have any interest in wanting to play, you can inbox the Fort Wayne Jackers or just on Facebook. If I'm full, I'm good about kids reach out to me all the time. And if we're full, or if their talent level isn't, say they didn't play college baseball, I can refer them to a different league in Fort Wayne that's a little bit more relaxed. So anybody can feel free to reach out. Appreciate it, DC.
And this week we are talking about the Jackers located here in Fort Wayne. But right now we're switching. We just got done talking to Tom, but now we're switching gears a little bit because one of the players that played for the Jackers last year, he's just all over. I can't even catch up with them anymore. Ever since I left high school in 2009, I've tried to keep up on this guy, and he just moves too quick. At this point, he's just Sonic the Hedgehog, which is, if you know this person, he's not fast. Which, so it doesn't make any sense. But we are talking to the one and only Will Corson Carr, folks. Will, what's going on, man?
What's up? Love that intro, Dedrick. Appreciate it.
I had to throw that quick jab in there about the speed. You have definitely never been gifted with the speed.
Low feet. Yeah. I can throw a ball, but that's about it.
That's right. You make up for it as far as hard as you throw it. So yeah, we just got done talking to Tom, man, and that's what initiated our conversation, which is, first of all, been too long since we've talked. We got to change that, first of all. But you played for the Jackers last year. So talk about your experience with the Jackers here in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, the Jackers, man, it is a great team to be a part of as, you know, an ex-player, kind of, you know, playing in the adult league. It's a lot of fun. Like, shout out to Rich Brown, who runs that whole league, because if he wasn't doing that, it wouldn't even be possible. Shout out to Tom, who's my coach, Tom Davidson. You know, just a big, burly OG. Like, he's a great guy to be around, a great coach, and just, like, really, really enjoy hanging out with him and getting to know him. And he'll vouch for you about the Sonic the Hedgehog. I'm all over the place, too, with for him as well. But, yeah, the Jackers, you know, great team. I'm not even one of the better players on the team. We got, like, Evan Van Sumeren, who is dominating. That'd be great. A great interview to have. Mm-hmm. And then there's a whole bunch of other guys, and it's like age range really from from 18, from fresh out of high school, all the way up to, you know, I got 45-year-olds, 50-year-olds, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's similar to a league that I played in after high school. I think that then it was just called the Fort Wayne Adult Baseball League. I think it was called back then. So it was a little bit similar, but sounds like it's got a lot more talent than the league that I played in, because if like I went against you in high school and I struck out most of the time. So I'm sure you still throw probably just as hard, if not harder, than I did.
Yeah, I just don't know where it's going, though.
Yeah. That might be true. So, like, you know, as you and I know you don't play for the Jackers this year, but I know that's something that a lot of people are talking about, the Jackers and like what they do for Fort Wayne. And so, like, from your perspective, although you don't play there anymore, what did that do for you? You know, playing in that league, I'm sure was very fun.
Yeah, it's I think it's pretty rare to like to have a team like that has that good of players on it, and even like competition. Like we were, especially this year, I don't think we won the league this year. Like the competition is getting better in those leagues, like Faith in the Portland Rockets, a few other teams. Like it's good baseball, and you just feel like you can get off work and, you know, go drive 15 minutes to Carrington Field and you're getting to play like really good baseball. And honestly, like, especially with lights on, it feels like it kind of takes you back a little bit to the good old days. So it is a great feeling playing for them. Yeah.
So perfect segue, the good old days. So this is, we know each other pretty well, I would say. So my first reaction of you, I got to go there first. So I'm a senior. I've played 1 year of high school baseball. I'm getting better. I can hit. I've always been able to hit, but that's it. You walk in, and our coach Harmon at the time, he goes, "Yeah, we got a couple of freshmen that are joining varsity this year. One is Evan Van Sumeren, who I already knew a little bit because our dads know each other, so I knew about him already. But you walk in, and okay, first reaction, all right, he's tall. He's taller than most of us. All right, first reaction. But then he says your last name. He's like, Will Corson Carr. And I'm like, Theo's little brother. Really? Theo's little brother is playing baseball for us and varsity? I got to see this. So I think it wasn't the first practice, but it was like our second practice on the diamond. And we did live batting, and he puts you on the mound against us. Okay. Shut all of us up. Like, all of us, bro. Like, I don't think anybody touched. I mean, I think the only person that got any hits on you, I believe it was our leadoff hitter, Eric Fenstermacher.
Yeah.
I think he was the only one to touch you at all in that live batting. So shout out to him for that. But my first reaction of you coming in is like, who is this goofy, tall, Theo little brother lookalike? And man, you ended up, I mean, you played as a freshman. You were our best player right away and took us in a deep run. I know we played Homestead. That was rough, our first sectional draw. But like, man, you ended up having a great career at Southside and probably go down as one of the best ever. So like, got to reflect on those years at Southside first, man, as a player.
Yeah, yeah. You take it for granted. And like, when I think about going back on those days, like, I mean, yeah, high school was such good memories. And it is funny, like, so if you don't know Theo, which obviously people won't know Theo, but that's my older brother. And he was kind of like, I don't even know how to describe him. I don't even try, but he was like a high school, like, you know, life of the party bro kind of cool guy. But I don't know about cool guy, but yeah, funny guy. But yeah, I vaguely remember that first day. I feel like just being a freshman, I don't even like know what, I probably wasn't thinking at all. Like, I was just like, oh, cool, baseball. I love baseball. Let's go, you know, play. And I wish I could have been like that, like more in college and as I got better. But I remember Eric getting hit off me or some kind of situation like that. And I still play tennis with Eric, like to this day, not anymore now with my situation. But yeah, like, I don't know. It's just like that community, the baseball community at Southside. Like, I love all those guys. And yeah, just really made me the baseball player that I became at that point. And yeah, just enjoyed it.
Yeah, so like once our terrible class of 09 left, once we left, you guys decided to win some games. You guys went pretty far. Talk about how big that was, because like I think to this day that was the best year Southside baseball has ever seen.
Yeah, so it was So, yeah, you guys laid the foundations, Dedrick. But yeah, after that,
Oh man, that's how you know Will knows me. He used my government name.
the Oh yeah, sorry, DC, my bad. You can edit that out.
It's all good. It's all good. I'm leaving that in, brother.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think about our records. I feel like we went my sophomore year, we went 7-17, and then the year after that, like 12-14 or something along those lines. And then senior year, we've got so our three like I'm probably missing out a few seniors, but like this three seniors that were starting and doing a lot of the playing were Evan Van Sumeren, Jordan Joyner, and myself, and we were all like best friends, like we still are to this day. And something just like, I don't know, clicked, and we like built up a ton of confidence. And I think our year was like we were 21-7, and we beat Huntington North, who was like the highest ranked team, maybe like two or three in the state, something like that. Or sorry, no, we did not beat them. Homestead beat them, and
Homestead
then we
beat
beat,
them, and
yeah,
you
my
beat
bad, my bad.
Homestead.
And then we beat Homestead in the sectional championship, which was like, yeah, an awesome memory. We beat them 4-1. Every single player in the field made a play, which like for Southside, like our kryptonite is defense. So it was like we gotta have like I can't strike everybody out. We gotta have guys make plays, and that happened. Like I think I only had maybe like 9 strikeouts, and everybody in the field made a play. Yeah,
Only nine
incredible.
strikeouts.
Yeah, no.
Only nine people. This is Will, folks. So if anybody doesn't know Will, he is very nonchalant and very humble, and still, as you see, still is to this day. Man, those were the good times, man. You go down, at the very least, man. You go down. I would like look best ever at Southside. Like, it probably is a little bit of bias, but. I would say so, but you went on to do even bigger things than that, and you ended up playing in college. I think you started at IU and then went to Huntington. How did that all play out for you?
Yeah, so okay, so the story there is so my senior year, I have this really good year. I have great numbers. I had a commitment to IU when I was a junior, so before I had that really good year, but I felt like I would honor that commitment. Went there. First year was my year, right? So I started. I ended up, I don't know how many innings, maybe it was like 60 or something. And I was okay, but I gained a little bit of weight, and I was kind of like, I don't know, not myself that I was my senior year of high school, but I still, performance wise that year, I was still having a lot of success. So I think my numbers were if I was 5-0 and I had like a 1.93 ERA. And then the main thing was that I was pitching in a lot of big games. So like I pitched a complete game in the Big Ten Championship. I closed out the first game of our Super Regionals against Florida State. I got the win in the second game of our Super Regionals that sent us to the World Series. Keep in mind, I'm just doing a little bit of pitching. We also had Kyle Schwarber on that team, Sam Travis, Aaron Slagers, like actual like stud big leaguers. And then I started game two of the College World Series against Mississippi State, and we ended up losing that game. But that was kind of that. But after all that, so I go to the Cape Cod Baseball League and kind of don't perform well. And from that point on, I ended up my performance like kind of I started walking guys and just kind of like lost control a little bit. Like here and there, I would still, be throwing pretty hard, and I'd get it click every once in a while, but the consistency wasn't there. I did drop down to sidearm for a little while, which was a lot of fun. I was good at it for like a month. But so yeah, so kind of after all that, my draft stock went down. I did not end up getting drafted, which was like my hope, but that was kind of the story there. But I did get surgery on my shoulder, had a labrum surgery, and went to Huntington. So I thought I was done with baseball. And Thad Frame, who's or Thad called me. Mike Frame was the head coach at that point from Huntington. Calls me up and said, "Hey, you still got eligibility? You want to come to Huntington?" And I'm like, "All right, let's do it." So I went to Huntington, and for a semester, on a great team too. That team had some studs like Shea Beauchamp and Dalton Combs, who played pro ball, and yeah, played there for that season, and we ended up going. We went to the World Series or to the stage right before that, and I got to hit. Like I hadn't hit in 4 years, and like that was one of my passions. Like I love to hit too, so that was kind of that story up until that point. Yeah.
Yeah, you were always, that's what a lot of people don't understand, and that I remember too, is like, all right, you were obviously the standout pitcher, but you could hit too. Like, so you were one of those guys that I know people like Harmon love. You could just, put you at first base so you can hit when you're not pitching, and you could DH, and you were always one of those guys. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. So I was really glad to see that you were able to hit at Huntington. So that was obviously, I was really glad that you were able to do that, because I know, like you said, things didn't end like the greatest at IU, and going from there to, I know you wanted to go pro, which we all thought you were. But you didn't let us down, man. You still, you've, and even after this, so even after all the great things you did there, okay, you've played high school baseball, you've played college ball, which already makes you a role model in this community. You come back to this community, and not only that, you coach at Southside. So talk about how that process went, and talk about reflect on coaching at Southside, because well, I know it wasn't long, but I know I was very excited to see you coaching.
After Huntington, I come back to Fort Wayne, not really sure what I'm wanting to do. But before I started coaching at Southside, I got an opportunity to go play baseball in Germany, and
Oh,
I
I didn't
did
know
that.
that.
So I did that. Funny story, I can tell you about it if we have time, but I was coaching slash playing there. And I first at like the baseball levels, maybe like low D3 to like varsity level high school baseball. But they bring some Americans in to play and stuff. So like the first pitch I saw, I hit a home run. The second pitch I saw, I hit a home run. Like just pitch, first pitch, second pitch, home run in a game. And then that same night, I was riding my bike back to my apartment and I fell off the bike and I messed my shoulder up again. So then my career was done. So I just coached there. But yeah, anyway, that's the side story. But
Jeez.
so after that, so I got into coaching at Southside, helping out under Ryan Dellinger. And so I was like an assistant coach. And then I did that, I can't remember the years, but 2 years, about 2 or 3 years. And then Deli left, Deli moved on, and I stepped into the head coach role, which I think I'm more of a natural assistant coach, but the head coach role was a lot of fun. I did it for 3 years, actually. So two, no, two, maybe 2 years, when I got that wrong. But it was a lot of fun. And Evan, my friend Evan Van Sumeren, helped out with that as well. And but then the time had come for that to be done, I tried something else. But it was a lot of fun at Southside, and their coach now is like amazing. Like you should interview him. Like their coach now is he's the man,
Oh
and
yeah,
he's like
they're
really.
gonna be. I already promised him they're gonna be the first team I do for spring interviews, because I know he's been bugging me that I only talked to the teams that advanced far in the tournament this past year, and so I was making my rounds there and just wasn't able to get to all the teams. So I saved the other teams for previews come spring, and I already guaranteed Southside. I'm sorry, every once in a while we gotta be biased, but Southside will be first when it comes to team previews. So. That's official.
He's building a program. Like they're out there all the time. He is fully committed. And Evan and some other friends from high school that you and I know, DC, are helping out there too still. So they've still got the Southside connection too, so.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So what brings us to today, man? This is what I was the most excited to bring you on for. So you played with the Jackers last year. What are you doing now?
Right. So now I live in Bangkok, Thailand, and I work at an international school as a baseball coach slash I'm doing some learning support teaching on the side too. So it's amazing. I literally found this job on Indeed. I looked up something about international baseball because my two passions are, baseball, and then my undergrad was international studies, so I like want to see the world. And it said coach baseball in Bangkok. I'm like, is this real? I applied, and heard from them pretty much right away. And it's been a crazy experience so far. Like, you can ask me questions about whatever you want. But we're also, by the way, looking for another coach. So if we have any connections, DC,
Ooh.
that want to move to Bangkok and coach baseball with
Hey,
me, then.
I've heard a lot of great things about Thailand. Like, I know like celebrities go there too to like unwind and relax. Like, that's become in this day and age a vacation spot for a lot of people, to be honest. So like, how was that for you? Like, that's a big jump going from here to there. How was that adjustment for you?
Well, luckily with my or undergraduate degree, I was able to like study abroad, and I stayed in Spain, and my dad's English, so like I've always had this interest in going to different countries and being curious about cultures. And just like I've always known I wanted to do it. It just so happened that baseball was kind of like my key to getting to that point. But for me, I mean, it's been, it is a tough transition. Like they don't speak English. I mean, even in Bangkok, like some do, but for the most part, people don't speak any English. It is hot, like so hot. Right now is a decent time. It's the rainy season, so it's like a little bit better. But that and then traffic. So those are like the bad things. But the good things are, it's called the Land of Smiles. Everyone's nice. It's safe. People are friendly. And you can get on a plane for like $30 and go to like some paradise island. And yeah, it's I'm getting I've only been here for about 7 weeks now, so I haven't done any of that stuff yet. But yeah.
Gotta get out and have some fun, man. I know you're just getting out there, but like, so compare baseball, like, so you're working in baseball over in Thailand. Compare what's some of the differences, what's some of the similarities, teaching the youth about baseball there compared to here in the States.
Right. So it's an international school. So what that means is that a bunch of there's a ton of Americans. Like there's a lot of like diplomats' kids that go here, or Japanese. There's a whole bunch of Japanese, which is really interesting to see like how they play the game differently. Like just the way they move and everything is just totally unique. So it's a mix. Level wise, I'd compare it. I work with all ages. Like I work from T-ball all the way up to high school varsity. The high school varsity is like kind of like playing in the US. Maybe it'd be like working at, like being at a Southside, something like that. But yeah, it's really not much difference besides the fact that you have like these different cultures that are playing baseball. So like you have, yeah, European kids, a few Thai kids, Japanese, and that's just, yeah, fascinating to me.
So like, is this something, 'cause I know how you are, man. So like, is this something like, you've only been there 7 weeks though. So like, is this something that you could see, like, let's think longevity. Like, is this something you want to do like all around the world? Is this something like, hey, I'm in Thailand now. Let's go over to Japan, right? And see what they're doing over there. Let's go to Chinese Taipei. Let's go to, is this something that you're looking to do in the future? Or are you just looking at, are you just like, I'm a now kind of guy. I'm in Thailand now, and this is where I'm at. What's the thought process?
I'm very much a live in the moment kind of guy. And I knew I wanted to live abroad my whole life, but like if I had an opportunity to go do this in Japan, or I can like create maybe, I don't know, just create something out of this program here in Bangkok, I would stay here for as long as they would let me. But like I love baseball, but I also have other interests as well. Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know where it could take me, but like, I don't know. I think it sounds awesome to like become like try to talk to a pro team, be like, hey, you guys need a scout out here in like East Asia or something like that. Like that would be sick. I don't know how that would ever happen, but like something like that. Like I just think, especially in a Bangkok, like it's the size of New York City. Like you meet people, and there's just like a lot of connections. I feel like that you can create here. Where yeah, I'm optimistic about keeping up with this for a while. So yeah,
I
I
am
teach at the
very,
school though too. So yeah.
yeah, I like I am I'm just so excited for you, man. Like I really am. That was like, so initially I was bringing you on to talk about the Jackers, and then
Yeah.
like just talking to each other, we're like, you tell me you're in Thailand, and I'm like, what got you, what? Like I was so confused. I was like, okay, this just opened up a whole new. I was so excited for you, man. Like, because I remembered that about you. You've always been, because you used to tell us that on the team. Like, you used to tell us, like, I want to go, everywhere. I want to travel everywhere. You used to tell us that. And of course, we used to laugh and joke with you and make fun of you a little bit. That was just how we were. But look at you, man. You're doing great. You're teaching, the game that we both love, grew up on, to the youth, which is makes me even happier. You've done so much for the community here, and now you're doing it elsewhere, man. I couldn't be happier for you, and I want to make it there one day, man. I would love to see, baseball overseas and see how it's played. So I might have to come visit you, man, and sneak up on you.
Please do. Like I said, we got extra bedroom, man.
Let's
Come on
go.
over. Yeah,
Man,
like,
we'll be
yeah,
like the
and it's
high
cool
school
here.
days all over again, man.
I know, I know. The facilities are nice. Like,
Yeah.
it's a top-notch school. It's legit. Yeah.
So, final words. Anybody you want to talk, not really like a shout out or anything, but we're speaking, because everybody from all over the 260 listens, and you got, everyone knows who you are. And you're a role model for this community. Everybody knows who you are. I've talked to high school kids. Luke Rhea knew who you were at Homestead, who's now going to Toledo. But these kids know who you are, man. So, like, what advice would you give, any of the younger players coming out of high school or anyone just in the 260 baseball in general?
Yeah, first let me shout out Evan Van Gimmeren again because,
It's my boy.
yeah, like seeing him on the Jackers. I don't know like when the last time you saw him, DC, but the dude is yoked. The dude is like put on some serious muscle, and like it is translated to his baseball. He's like bet I guess he's 31 now, something like that. What's the same age as me? And the guy can like he's two times a player, and maybe I'm like exaggerating, but like compared to even college, like if that guy I think could play, like should go play for a professional indie ball team or something like right now and see what happens. But he's got his wife Kara and everything, so I don't know if she'd be up for that. But the yeah, that I'd say for advice for the youth, like you to become good at baseball, you've got to love every part of the game in that you would want to just throw a ball against a wall for like 5 hours. Like that is literally like people ask me like, did you do like there's so many like modern training methods and like, video analysis that you can do. And I'm sure like that can change some people's careers and like help people become really good. But like you just gotta like learn the natural movement. And for me, that came from throwing a ball against a wall all the time, or to my dad all the time, and just like having fun was out when I was out in the field. If you're having fun and you're breathing and you're relaxing your body, like you that's good. That's what's going to make a good baseball player or just a good athlete in general. Like if you are able to relax and stay even keel, that's what helped for me. And actually, when I got to college, when I started to struggle, I kind of got away from that, and that I think is maybe related to like one of the parts of my struggles, like not being able to relax and like enjoy the game. You got to keep it fun. That's my simple, but that's my thought.
I love it. Yeah, because I remember you've always been a guy to never really be too high and never be too low. And I think that's what helped you take your game to the next level is because, like, while we're all upset, we're losing, we're down 6-1 in the sixth inning, we're all down. You're still, we're good. We're good. Game's not over. Why are you guys so upset? Game's not over. And like that is always, something I've remembered about you. So, man, great advice. Great advice for the youth. I know we're on two completely opposite sides of the spectrum in terms of time. I'm just waking up a little while ago, and you are unwinding and at home getting ready to relax. So I appreciate, you making time for me in this time difference. And again, man, very excited for you, very happy for you. And one of these days, I'm gonna sneak up on you. Okay, I'm just gonna be like, hey, man, I'm in Thailand. What's up? What are we doing? All right.
Sneak up on me, absolutely. And I just want to say real quick that would love what you're doing, DC, and keep this up because these stories like about baseball in the city and like to have them told, like that's what builds the game in our local area, or my used to be local area. But like, yeah, really appreciate you, and it's great to talk to you. And I haven't seen you in so long that you
Dude,
should sneak up on me, man.
let's do it,
Come out
man.
here.
Let's do it, man. Sounds great, man. Take care. Keep in touch. Don't be a stranger. All right. I'm gonna be blowing you up now that we got our contact back together. All right.
Deal.
Take care, brother.
All right. See ya.
See you, man. Special thanks out to Will Korsakar for joining us, and of course Tom Davidson of the Fort Wayne Jackers for coming on, and shout out to Carrington Field for allowing us to come out here and record the podcast. Of course, Will wanted to thank a couple of people and wanted to send some shout outs before we get out of here. He wanted to give a shout out to all of his coaches, Sheldon Van Pelt at Southside, Mark De La Garza with the Summit City Sluggers, and Rich Dunno for giving him that extra pitching lessons. This has been the 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by Old Ford Baseball Company.